Let me just begin today by telling you guys this, because I think this is what's bleeding out of the Sermon on the Mount like nothing else on the planet for me right now. God absolutely knows you. He absolutely sees you. He absolutely loves you. He just does. Just trust me on that for right now. We will continue down the journey, but I want you to know that God sees you. He knows you, and he loves you. Today, as we journey into the continuation of the Sermon on the Mount, we are about to walk into some incredible stuff. We're sort of entering into a brand new section now of the sermon, something that Jesus is bringing around to show us how to come back into balance. But before I get into the details, let me tell you a little story about what's going on here at Mosaic. We are in the process of working through as diligently as we can to figure out how to communicate best to all of you, how to make your way through this thing we call Mosaic, how to get into community, how to really plug in and all of that. It's been a journey for us for quite a while now, and this next Sunday that we're about to walk into, we are going to launch here at Mosaic Church the new process, or rather, the better explained process for you to integrate into community here, okay? And in doing that, we have been spending the last few months digging into what the reality of that process is. We've been asking ourselves, what is it we are asking you to step into so you can get connected? And we've weeded through words and statements and things and old stuff and new stuff to try and figure out what it actually is. The real deal. Here it is. Here's our process. Once we think we figured that out, and we think we have, we're really excited next week to tell you, we knew what we needed to do. To express that process to you in a way that is tangible and that you can that you can gain clarity on, we have to create this little thing we call a brochure. Ever seen one of those? The brochures are magical little tools, aren't they? They take a reality, whatever that reality is, and they become an expression of that reality. The brochure, if it's done well, will tell you the real deal in simple form in a way that makes you feel like you can connect to that reality. That's what a brochure is. So we started working on brochures, and let me tell you something, it's been a nightmare. Brochures are horrible little things, aren't they? Because you start creating them, and you just think you got something, and you compare it to the reality, and you go, oh, wow, that only makes sense to those of us that actually know the reality. This doesn't do any good. So we worked on this brochure. Finally, we came up with a brochure that was edgy, it was cool, it kind of explained the process, and we handed it out to a bunch of people to get their feedback, and feedback kept coming rolling in, and it was confusing. They didn't know what it meant, they didn't know what this was. And I remember last week, Thursday night, we're on a deadline here, right? The brochure's got to go to print so you guys can have it, and we got to launch it next week, and it's got to happen. And we've worked for weeks on this brochure, and poor Jeff and others here have poured themselves in, and Amanda's been crying over this thing, and finally we got a brochure, and the brochure ain't working. It's not doing it. So you get to that point where you just go, you know what, who cares? It's a nice brochure. We've put a lot of work into it. All those hours wasted. Launch the thing, and we'll explain later, right? That was our choice on Thursday night. And we sat there and actually wrestled through almost doing that. Just forget it. Just send it out to the people. We'll explain it 19 times. But then we realized what a pointless exercise that would be if we launched the very expression of the reality and the expression doesn't express the reality anymore. And we have to explain the brochure to try to get you back in there. How crazy would that be? So we put the work in to reworking the entire thing, top to bottom. And finally came up with something that we felt, wow, this actually expresses that. In the Beatitudes and in the Sermon on the Mount, this is exactly the process that Jesus has been walking us through. This is exactly the life process that Jesus is calling us into as Christ followers. Look what he did. He started in the Beatitudes by expressing to us what? A reality, right? He said, here's who you are if you are in me. This isn't a question mark or a maybe or what you're supposed to do to be in me. This is the reality. You will be poor in spirit. You will be meek. All those things are in there. You'll hunger and thirst for righteousness. You'll be a peacemaker. You'll be merciful. I mean, these are the realities of what a person in Christ is beginning to look like. And he said, let me tell you something about this reality. This reality is meant to be expressed to the world. What did he say? You are salt and light, right? Who puts a light under a lid? Nobody. When you live out the reality of who you are in Christ and you live it out in the world, in the actions of your life, that is meant to be expressed. And so he creates for us platforms in which to express that reality. He starts with the law, right? And he says, let me tell you something. I just want you to know, you are going to get persecuted in the real world out there when you start living out this reality. But let's begin with where that begins. I've given you the law, and the law is a platform in which you can express the realities of your heart. That's why he says, you know, murder and divorce, you've heard this and that said about it, but it's what goes on in here that matters, right? And we've just spent the last few weeks walking through the reality of the law and the difficulty of figuring out when it becomes legalistic and when it becomes freeing, right? Because God gives us this platform, but then we miss it sometimes. We start making it a legalistic process. And all of this that God is doing, here's the reality, here's the platform to express that reality. God keeps saying things like this in this sermon. I want your righteousness to exceed that of the Pharisees. Remember that? I want you to live beyond what they're living. So what is Jesus up to here? And where is he about to go next? This is where it gets awesome, because you recognize as you get into this story that from the beginning of time, God knew you. God knew exactly who you were. He knew exactly what you were going to do. Us as humanity, he knew us. It's as though he figured us out before we figured ourselves out. Who knew? And so God here is saying to us, I got this, man. I know you. I know exactly what you're going to get up to. So I'm going to give you all of the necessary information to balance you out as your pendulum swings back and forth. Because here's what happens to us. It's what happened to us on this journey. We start with the reality. This is what we all do. We all do it. We start with the reality, and we start living out that reality. Then we express that reality. This is now in our Christian walk, our following of Christ, right? We start expressing that reality in the law. We start expressing that reality in our life. We see our careers and our social networks as platforms in which we can express that reality. And before you know it, as we live this life out, that reality becomes quite cool, doesn't it? People start liking you. They do. You're a peacemaker. You're merciful. You're wonderful. And before you know it, you start realizing that people like the reality that you're living out. And so you start creating a world where that reality is what you live. You start creating a brochure. I do it too. And as you start doing that, if you are not careful, if you are not watchful, here's what will happen. The very platforms that God has given you to live out the reality of who you are in Christ become the things that matter most. You live the law out like a Pharisee so that everyone will think you're cool and think you're amazing. You start protecting the platforms like your career and like your social networks because they all like you now. So you do things in those social networks and in that career that will make you what you know people need you to be. So Jesus talks about the law, and look what he does next. I want you to grab your Bibles. It's as though he knew that if we're not careful in expressing the reality of our lives as believers, instead of becoming that reality, we'll start creating our own reality and using the law and our social networks and careers and platforms to make ourselves something special. Watch. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. In chapter 5, there's Bibles under the chairs. If you don't have one of your own here, grab one of ours and feel free to take it home and keep it if you don't have a good Bible at home. Page 672, Matthew chapter 6 is where we're going to start today. Page 672. Now, before we actually jump into reading, let me just remind you about one quick thing, okay? Jesus, as he's unpacking this particular message, starts with the Beatitudes, the introduction, the reality. Here's the reality, the character of the person that follows Jesus. He then steps into that beautiful part that he says that reality is meant to be expressed. Then he tells us, here's how that person interacts with the law. Now he's going to, for the rest of chapter 6, change gears and say, we're done with the law now. You know how to interact with that. It is a platform that when you live it out, it is an expression of your reality. We got that. Now I want you to understand what it is like to live this life, this reality, in the presence of God. And then chapter 7, he's going to talk about living that reality under the watchful eye of God, or the judgment of God. Don't get scared by that word yet. It's actually an incredibly freeing word you'll see later. So in chapter 6, verse 1, we are massively switching gears here, because Jesus is about to say, in this reality that you live, if the law becomes anything but a platform, which it will, if the brochure, the expression of your reality, becomes more important to you than the reality of the reality itself, I want to show you what you do here. I know you're a little confused right now. Hang with me. You'll see where I'm going. Okay? Trust me. Okay, chapter 6, verse 1. Listen to these words and let them sink in. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Isn't that an incredible verse? You know, these are the kinds of verses in the church. Us pastors, we run past these verses very quickly. We skip them generally if we can, okay? We do not like these verses because they don't make you feel so good, do they? If you live for the sake of others and not for the sake of God, your rewards are zero. Zero. You get nothing. There is no reward from God. I mean, you let that sink in for a second. Are you with me on this? We get this wrong when we land before our Father in heaven. He's going to go, you already got all the rewards you needed. Well done. Good job. And you're going to go, wait, those were not good rewards. I told you, do this for me, there's rewards. Do this for them, there's rewards. Both have their rewards. You pick it. This is what this verse says. Jesus launches right out of the law and he says, now let's talk about how we keep our eyes fixed in the right place to keep ourselves grounded in the reality of who we are and not in the expression of that reality. He says, first and foremost, what you do, all those acts of righteousness, following that law that I've laid out for you, doing all the things I call you to do, when you do those things, make sure that you check yourself to make sure you're doing them before me and not for others. Huge difference. That's the statement of the entire chapter 6. There it is. We could stop here and the rest of chapter 6 almost doesn't matter, because that statement is chapter 6. Make sure you live in my presence and aware of my presence and not in the presence of others and aware of their presence. Make sure every decision you make, every act you fulfill, you do understanding that I am present and you're doing it for me. Now what Jesus is going to do is take the rest of this chapter and demonstrate it to us. Just like he did with the law, he made the statement, may your righteousness be better than the Pharisees, and the rest of chapter 5 was just an example of what that looks like. Same deal here, chapter 6. He's going to now go, let me show you how that reality plays out in two areas of life. The first section, starting in verse 2 all the way through verse 18, he's going to deal with how that reality, living in the presence of God and doing things for him, plays out in our relationship with him directly. So we're going to be talking about when you give, giving for the sake of Christ, when you pray, when you fast. Then he's going to talk about how that reality, the presence of God, plays out in the everyday mundane. Treasures in heaven and not worrying about things and all that. Because the reality is you live in two worlds, right? You live in the eternal world because you're a Christ follower. If you know Jesus, you live with your eyes on the eternal. But hey, when you get to live in the eternal world here on this planet, guess what else you got to do? You still got to wear clothes and you still got to eat food, because otherwise you die, right? So you still got to be aware of the mundane everyday stuff. And God is going to say, I get both those worlds. We're going to talk about how this plays out in each world. So be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Now he says this. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. Now, here's the deal. I want you very carefully now to separate yourself out again like we did with the law from the actual issues here on giving. Because again, we could take this passage and make it about giving. When you give in secret. Never tell anyone. If anyone finds out you gave, that's sin. Very bad. Don't do it. We could do that, but that's not at all what Jesus is doing here. He doesn't care whether people know you give or don't know you give. That is not the point he's trying to make here. He is showing us with this illustration how deceptive our hearts can be in everything we do. So he uses giving as an example. He says, so when you give to the poor, for instance, let's take that for instance. If you go out there and announce to the world, hey, everybody, I'm giving to the poor, aren't I neat? That's problematic because you have forgotten yourself and you are not giving as a result of living in the presence of a holy, loving God. You are giving as a result of living in the presence of all your peers and you want them to think all that of you, right? So the Pharisees lived this way. They handled the law this way. They handled giving this way. They would actually go into the streets and they would announce from the synagogues, we're about to give to the poor. Yes, us Pharisees. That's it. Come and watch. It's going to be beautiful. They did the same thing with the law, right? We are faultless as far as the law. The issue is they had the book. Hey, you want to be faultless as far as the world sees you? Here's the book. We do this in church. I mean, church is the environment for brochures, folks. It is. We tell you, you come in the doors and we tell you, if you dress this way and you talk this way and you sing this way and you act this way, then you will be one of us. And you all come here and you dress this way and speak this way and act this way and you become one of us. And the fact of the matter is what's going on behind that neat brochure you've created, who knows? But it doesn't matter, does it? Because the truth is, we don't like your reality. We just like your brochure. And if you think that's not a reality, go back out there and experience this week. People don't particularly like you. They just like what you've shown them, what you've created. That's why we date and we win people over and we work so hard in our office that everyone can see. And in the meantime, we're dying inside, right? Because we live in a brochure culture like the Pharisees did. You build it so they can see it, and then you hide behind it. And here Jesus steps right into that reality, and he goes, whoa, stop. If you've discovered me and I am your reality, you are free from that world. You are set free from having to live out a brochure. Because once and for all, you are deeply loved, and it doesn't matter anymore that all this looks different. So he says, now let me show you how this works. As you go out and give, for instance, don't announce it to the world. Nobody needs to know. If you give and people see you give, great. Let the chips fall where they may. If you give and nobody sees, great. No issue. Why? Because the same singular thought keeps coming back to us. You live in the presence of God all the time. So when you give, and it's in secret, your time, your resources, whatever it is, and nobody notices. The brochure does not have a sentence on it, I gave my time. Nobody sees that. It doesn't matter because God does not see the brochure. He sees you. And so whatever you do, he sees. It doesn't matter what your brochure says. But not us, right? We create the brochure and we put all the sentences on it so people can read our brochure and like us. So we create it. There it is. This is what I do. Now, we would all agree that going out into the streets, blowing trumpets, I'm giving now, would be a little odd. We all agree that for most of us, we wouldn't do such a terrible thing, would we? You don't walk around here and announce to people as you go tithe or announce to people as you go help others because that would be arrogant. So you have your own set of trumpets like I do. They're softer, quieter trumpets. You figure out how to slip just the right information to just the right people so they'll talk to your social network and everyone will know how giving you are. Oh, don't tell me you don't do that, because you do. And you know exactly at work how to slip just the right email to just the right person so they'll find out about that little thing you did so that it'll all come back on the back end. Oh, you're so humble. Oh, we want to honor you. We all do it. And I do it. I mean, I've been so convicted of the life I live where I am constantly, subtly pulling my trumpets out and going, did anybody hear that? I'm writing on that brochure. I'm writing 100 miles an hour so that when you look at my brochure, you will see all the things I've done and you will like me. And Jesus says, listen, man, stop. It shouldn't matter anymore what's on the brochure. All that should matter is the reality of what you're doing. If you give, give. Don't worry about who sees or who doesn't see. Just give because you're giving. Give your time. Give your resources. Give it. Why? Because you love Jesus. That's why. Period. End of story. Quit there. Now he takes it a step further. He goes, oh, let me show you how deceptive your heart is. Because you think this is a story about choosing between pleasing God and pleasing others. It's not. It's not a story about choosing between pleasing God and pleasing others. It's a story about choosing between pleasing you and pleasing God. That's what the story really is about. Because he's about to show us, by the way, in case you wonder whether the brochure is about others, it's not. It's about you, right? Because think about it. Others don't really care about you. They just care about your brochure. And you don't really care about others, do you? You just care about what they think about you. Now, I'm being a little big here, but if we're all honest with ourselves, at some point in our lives, left to ourselves, we go, as long as they think that of me, I'm happy. And so at the end of the day, we are creating a world here that is about people seeing us in the right light so that they will care about us in the right way. That's us. So Jesus says this. Let me show you how deep this runs. I tell you the truth. They have received their reward in full, he says in verse 2. Verse 3, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Okay, so I want to give you guys a little task. This week, I want you to try to give a few things away with your left hand, hide it from your right, okay? And see if your right hand figures it out, okay? Because clearly, that's what Jesus is saying here, right? We need to kind of work with this. And if you're left-handed, switch that, by the way, because it's the other, because your slower hand's always less likely to figure it out, right? No, Jesus doesn't care about your left and right hand. That's not what he's saying here. Because he gets it, by the way, that your brain connects both hands to each other. So that's not what he meant. What he is saying here is that your heart is so deceptive, that you are so caught up in self, that even in your giving of your time, your energy, your resources, whatever, you are constantly measuring. You are. Believe me, you are. If you're not, just bring me your pocketbooks. I'll show you how you measure, okay? We start with this question, do I have enough to give? Which, by the way, is the wrong question to start with. But let's just assume for this scenario that that's at least a better question than the next one, all right? Do I have the ability to give? Time, resources, whatever it is. Do I have the ability? God says, I want you to give. Okay, do I have the ability? Okay, I have the ability. Then we start there. Before you know it, when we've given enough and we've measured enough, we go like this. Have I given enough? Right? We all ask that question at some point. Another opportunity comes up. Have I given enough? So we go back and we calculate. How much have I given this year? How much of my time have I spent? Because at a certain point, we're always measuring how much of ourselves we've spent for the sake of others so that when it comes down to it, we can either feel good about how much we've done or tell people we've done enough. Either scenario. And Jesus says, whoa. If you are doing anything, any act of righteousness, any giving, and you're doing it either because you want them to be happy, ooh, look at me, or you're doing it because you want to feel good about yourself, and it's about that. Those two scenarios are forgetting the most important thing, and that's this one. You ready? You live in the presence of God. There it is. That's all Jesus keeps trying to say here. You're living in the presence of God. And God, unlike the rest of the planet, is not looking at your brochure. He is looking at you. And he cares not a teeny tiny bit about your brochure, but he cares deeply about you and your freedom. So what he cares about is the reality in which you're living and not what you're trying to show yourself or others. You know what the incredible thing about this truth is? Here it is. I mean, brace yourselves now because this gets ugly, okay? This is, I'll tell you, this chapter is a revealing chapter. And as we dig into it, it is an uncomfortable chapter. It is. Because when we start living in the presence of God, it is an uncomfortable thought because we've so deeply forgotten it. Most of us, and I include myself in this because I have been thinking about this week and have been wondering about where I land. Most of us have spent a lifetime building the brochure. We've built social networks. We've built careers. We've built platforms. We've built environments. We've built our life in the church. That's the law. We've learned to live well. We live a biblical life. And when we talk, we've created the language that fits on the brochure to let the world know how well we are doing. And we protect the brochure from our reality. We do. Look at this. Watch this. We start protecting our career or social network from our family. Oh, what? Wait, God never called you to a career or a social network. He called you to a wife and kids or a husband and kids, right? And we start protecting our platform, our brochure, from our reality. And you know who pays the price? The people closest to us. They pay the price. Because they're the only ones that know the real deal. God knows us and he pays the first price. We stop relating to him because he is no longer a reality that we care too much about. We're holding our brochure. It would be like us on Thursday night going, who cares what we're trying to communicate? The brochure is so pretty. That would be what we would have done Thursday. It's a pretty brochure. I don't care that people will miss the reality. Because we spent so much time building the brochure. You have to be willing to say, wait, the brochure is the tool. That's the reality. We stand in worlds. I see this all the time, guys. I see it in my own life and I see it in yours as I spend time with you guys. We live in worlds where our spouse gets to stand next to us and our children, and we talk our brochure and they know the reality. Isn't that brochure? And before you know it, they're the ones that pay the next price. God pays the first, they pay the second. And we spend ourselves protecting our careers and our social networks from the gospel. Do you realize that? The gospel is our reality. Jesus came to this planet to live for you and die for you and rise again for you to give you life and freedom. And he tells you one thing and one thing alone. Go into all the world and tell everybody. I will create platforms for you to do it. And we go, sweet. And with all the right intent, we run into the world to do that. And before you know it, we like our brochure so much we protect it from the gospel. Because the gospel might just mess with the brochure. Oh, we do it. I do it. I do it all the time. I don't do it in my career as much because my career happens to be the church. So it's a little easier for me to bring the gospel to bear here. But I recognize that that makes my world in the career world an easy one. I recognize how difficult yours is. In my social networks, though, different ballgame. There, if I'm in certain social networks, I wonder if I'm protecting them from the gospel. Because the gospel might offend them, hurt them, or cause me not to be liked so much. And here it is. You ready for this? Here, breathe this in deeply because this is where your freedom comes in. See, this isn't a message about God saying, you bad people, you're not doing what you're told. No, watch this. This is where it gets crazy. If we start living to protect our brochure, which we do, then we have to hide behind it. Because if people knew the real deal, it would destroy the brochure because the brochure is no longer a reality, right? So our marriage is falling apart. We tell no one. We tell no one. Because if they found out, it would kill the brochure. So the church becomes a place we just pretend, right? And we pretend with our friends. Oh, everything's fine. Everything's good. Everything's fine. And then eventually, we just can't hold it together anymore. And it crashes and we just hide it on the brochure. Oh, cut that part off the brochure. Pretend. And that's what we do. Our spiritual lives fall apart. They crumble. We don't even know if we believe in God anymore, but we can't tell anyone because we've been in the church for 10 years and everyone thinks we're the spiritual leader. And so we just hide behind the brochure. And Jesus steps into that world, you and me, steps into our world, and he says, if you know me, you do not have to live behind the brochure anymore. Because I see past it. I already see you. I already know you, and I already love you. And you do not need to hide behind the brochure. And I promise you, if you're in a community with others who are not hiding behind their brochures, they will love you too. Because they've walked out from behind theirs, because they were loved by Christ. And this, folks, is the community the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount starts talking about. A community of people who no longer live behind little brochures, protecting them with all their hearts, but people that dump those and go, this is me, it's horrible, I know. And we all go, wow, welcome to the club. And then we all get to look at each other, poor in spirit, broken of our sin, and go, thank God for Jesus, because he gives us new life. And we walk into that world and we start protecting the right things from the wrong things and stop protecting the wrong things from the right things. We start being husbands and wives, fathers and mothers. We start being men and women of God. And all that other stuff is just platforms on which we can be those things. And if those things have to come tumbling down, so be it. This is why Jesus says, I know you. I love you. And you will get out of balance. You will start buying into your own brochure. And you will forget yourself. And when you do, don't worry. I'll be right there whispering to your heart saying, psst, psst, hey, hey. You live in the presence of God every day. He loves you. He knows you. He understands you. He protects you. He is not going to watch your world crumble as that brochure comes down and leave you lost. He will free you. Because the irony is, he never bought into your brochure. He bought into you. And he loves you. And when you can get that straight in your head, when I can get that straight in my head, everything will change. The rest of this chapter is him saying, let's talk about prayer and see how prayer plays in when you live in the presence of God. Let's talk about fasting. Let's talk about treasures. Let's talk about giving. Let's talk about living. Let's talk about anxiety in the context of my presence. And you will feel the freedom of finding yourself this side of a brochure. Let's have the courage together. Let's have the courage together in the next few weeks and months to take our pretty brochures that we have created and to say maybe they are no longer what matters so much. And let's toss them for the sake of what is real. Whether the real is messy or not. And let's find ourselves deeply engaged in each other's lives. There, not here. We want to learn to love each other. We can, because God loves us. And then the world will know what freedom is when they watch our lives unfold. Our marriages unfold. Our world unfold. Let's pray.